If you've got a Bible, do please turn to Matthew chapter 6. We are resuming the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, and look at verse 19, and we'll read it in a minute. Before we get to that bit, what I'll do is I'll do a quick recap of the sermon that we've been up to. So we started in chapter 5 with the Beatitudes, which is the character of the disciples that Jesus is talking about. He wants them to live and to look like this. This is their, in the words of Martin Lloyd-Jones, the delineation of the Christians, what they're supposed to look like. And then we looked at Jesus' relationship to the law and the same kind of relationship that he expected his followers to have. And he used a few examples of what he meant by that. And he talked about anger, and then he talked about lust, and then he talked about divorce. Then he talked about swearing falsely. Then he talked about retaliation. And then he talked about loving enemies. And then we move into chapter 6. And chapter 6 is in two bits, two parts, two main bits. And we looked at the first part when we looked at prayer and fasting and giving. And that was 6 verses 1 to 18. Then we get to the second part, which we start today. And the second part deals with our corporate living in the world. So the first half was our private devotion. And the second half is our corporate devotion. How do we look like Jesus in the world? What should that be our attitude in the world? And so he talks about things like money and possessions and worry. So we get to the second half, and essentially what Jesus is saying to people is, don't live the way the Gentiles live. He talked a lot about the Pharisees, now he's talking about the Gentiles. He's basically saying, if you look at verse 32, he talks about not living the way the Gentiles live. So let's read together verse 19. Chapter 6, verse 19, Matthew 6, verse 19, and it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Very simple words, very short words. Here's a story from the fables of Aesop. I think that's how you say it. If it's not, somebody can correct me later. A miser sold all his possessions and made a bar of gold, an ingot, a bowl of gold that he got for them. And he hid it in a certain spot where his own heart and thoughts were buried with it. Every day he came to gloat over his treasure. And a labourer who had watched him guessed his secret and dug up the gold and carried it away. And when the miser came and found the hole empty, he began to lament and pluck out his hair. A passerby who saw him inquired as to the cause of his grief and said, "Don't be so downcast, sir. Even when you had the gold, you might as well not have had it. Take a stone instead and put it in the earth and imagine that you have the gold there. That will serve the same purpose. For as far as I can see, even when it was there, you didn't make any use of the gold you possessed." So we have treasures, don't we? Money, treasures of the earth, like gold, for example. Stock markets and investments and these kinds of things. And the world operates according to all these things. Everybody knows the language of money. You can get something as long as you've got the money. You wouldn't believe the corruption in other countries of the world whereby you cannot get justice unless you bribe the judge or bribe the police. It's everywhere. Everybody knows the language of money. And many people in the world give up their lives in the pursuit of cash. They want money. And they're like the miser who sold all his possessions and they store it up. I was reading through illustrations to find a good story. And the number of people that have died with literally fortunes and they lived as paupers. They lived like basically with nothing. But they had fortune stored up because they didn't use their money. It's unreal. It's more common than you think. They had a gift they could have given to the world in themselves. Not just their money, but because they were selfish and greedy and they mised all their money away, they left the world with nothing. Now, we all personally, we've all got treasures, haven't we? It might be money, it might be our house, it might be investments that we have, it might be something completely different, like people. It might be our spouse or our children or a family member or whatever. It might be something like education. We pride education above everything. It might be certain possessions that we have. And when we have these treasures, what Jesus is kind of intimating here, what he's kind of hinting towards, is saying that when we've got these treasures, we're completely consumed by them. When we're sitting at our desks at work, now I used to be like this, sit at my desk at work and I was bored, I would literally start to daydream about things that I needed to make me feel better. And our lives are bent on protecting or gaining our treasures. Consumes us. We daydream, our thoughts, the whole direction of our life is bent on these treasures. And what Jesus says is actually, it's not the way of the kingdom. That's not the way of the kingdom. He is calling his disciples to a life living according to the values of the kingdom. And those values are not based on earthly stuff. Really not based on earthly things. Because, as he says twice, earthly stuff can be eaten away, or it can be destroyed, or it can be stolen. It's insecure. And so you've got the difference there between earthly treasure. Earthly treasure, you've got houses, they can be destroyed. Money can be lost on investments in stock markets, you know. And again, we've heard of when the stock markets crash and all the rich people lost all their money because they invested in the wrong thing and they were left with nothing. Metal, you know, people love their cars. People really like their cars in this country. And it's bizarre, really. I mean, it didn't, not just in this country, but in a lot of Western countries, it's all about the cars. Got to get the best car you can. But metal rusts away and corrodes. You can't keep it forever. It will eventually give up. Even if you do keep it in a garage. Because one day that garage ain't going to be there. I'm teaching Granny to suck eggs, right? We all know earthly treasure, it dies. It's lost, it's insecure, it can be destroyed. Heavenly treasure, though, is something completely different. In the words of Monty Python, and now for something completely different. It's of lasting value. And so what's the heavenly treasure that Jesus is speaking of? Well, when I think of heavenly treasure, I think of people. Because to be honest with you, the only thing that's going to last into eternity is people. Because God said in Ecclesiastes, I've set eternity in the hearts of people. And that includes ourselves as well as other people. God is not concerned with our earthly treasure. He's not concerned with how much money we give in the bank. Although, by the way, do give, please. Because ministry doesn't just happen. People need to eat. But God's not necessarily concerned with our earthly treasure, but he's concerned primarily with our hearts. Jesus didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom that was going to fade away and fail like the Romans. I mean, everybody thought the Romans were going to be around forever. What happened? They didn't last very long, did they? And the same with all the earthly kingdoms. But Jesus came to set up an eternal kingdom that was based in heaven, that was going to last for eternity. So that means our lives have got to be based around the kingdom. Our thoughts, the goal for our life, everything that we're moving towards has got to be about heaven. It's got to be about something eternal. How do we live that way then? Because I'm aware that it's easy to make ourselves feel guilty and say, oh no, I've thought too much about earthly treasure. How do I live the life? Well, let's think about how we do this. So not three things today. Four. So buckle up. Verse 21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The first way, I think, the first thing that we have to get squared up in our brains as we go into this idea of working towards heavenly treasure is to set our minds on things that are above. Wherever your life's goal is, there your heart's going to be. Like the miser, he buried his gold in the thing, his heart and his thoughts were there as well. Whatever you're thinking about is where, really, your heart's going to be. And Paul was really quite clear as what this means for Christians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What he's basically saying is that if you're going to live a life according to the values of the kingdom, your life isn't your own anymore. It's in Christ. Our eyes need to then be fixed on the values of the kingdom. Not on selfish gain, like the miser, who gave it all for something that he was never going to use. And so the question and the challenge comes to us, what's our heart set on? What's my heart set on? What's your heart set on? What is the ultimate goal for your life? If the ultimate goal for your life is to have a wonderful family, you will be forever disappointed. You will never get there. Why? Because it depends on other people. But if your goal is to live a life that gives glory to Jesus, then the only person that depends on is you. And if you're setting your mind on things that are above, on Jesus, on his reign, his rule and authority, you will begin to live to his praise and to his glory. Your life will be different. But we can't just do this on our own. We need faith. And Hebrews 11, when you read all about the people who were living by faith, it's immediately then followed by the exhortation to fix our eyes on Jesus. When you read about all those people in chapter 11 of Hebrews, all they were focused on was what God wanted for their lives. Moses, he didn't do it for himself. He actually said, "No, Lord, I don't want to do it." Totally focused on what God wanted for him. And that's just one example of the many examples that Hebrews 11 throws out. All about fixing our eyes on the Lord, on his kingdom, on his rule, on his values for our life. And the question is, what are we looking at every day? Where are our eyes? Are we setting them on the values of the kingdom? Are we living to his praise and to his glory? Or are we living for our own self? And that's a challenge that comes to us, and we've got to think about that. And it may be that if you don't hear anything else today, you've got to go away and think about just that. What is my life all about? Am I living it for me or am I living it for God? So we've got to set our minds. If we're going to store treasures in heaven, we've got to set our minds on God. The second thing to think about how we store up treasures in heaven. Seek to develop character. Now what I mean by that is not going off into the world to find oneself so that you develop a character and you're a really interesting person. I'm really not saying that, okay? That's not what this is about. If you want to have that experience, I suggest you go and watch one of those films like Eat, Pray, Love, which was one of these things, was about all person going to find themselves. Well, I'm afraid that's not what I'm talking about, so if you want to do that, go and watch the movie. Seek to develop character. I'm talking about character according to the character of Jesus. That character is eternal. That's an eternal thing to be investing in and to be seeking after. Because you see, God cares about your character and he cares about my character. He cares about whether or not we're living in Christ-likeness. He cares about that. That's important. Jesus came so that we might truly know what God is like. He came to show us what it means to have a truly human relationship to God. And character is the key to unlocking all of the competencies that we have. So I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Some people, Mike mentioned it earlier about a guy who has healing ministry. Some people can spend their lives in the pursuit of a healing ministry. They're desperate for a healing ministry. They really want to be able to pray for people and heal them. So they pray and ask God for the gift. They go to all the conferences. They read all the books. They try and hang around with all the right people. But inwardly, their heart's not surrendered to God. They're not developing the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. They don't exemplify anything of the Beatitudes, which means they're not poor in spirit. So they're not humble. They think they're doing all this gives them credit before God. They're not meek, but they're proud. They're not after righteousness, but they're gaining power for themselves. Their heart is not pure, but they're clouded with selfish ambition. They're not peacemakers, but instead they come and destroy peace for their own means. And then they wonder why when they pray for people, nothing happens. I wonder why. Because healing ministry only comes as a result of humility, gentleness, trust in the power of God, and above all, the belief that God is love. And God loves that person that you're praying for. So I use that as just an illustration, as an example, to say that competency, just to use that language, or ability in the ways of God, only comes through our character. And we'll come to it a bit later on chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says, not everyone that comes to me who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Didn't we do all this wonderful, great stuff for you? And Jesus says, I don't know who you are. Why? Because you don't look like me. Your heart's totally in the wrong place. It was all about you. Jesus says, depart from me, because your life was based on some other weird worldly value that I didn't set for. You didn't look like me. Character is eternal. Our treasure in heaven, looking for treasure in heaven, is developing our character now. Learning what it means to live the Beatitudes. Learning what it means to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. Now, I'm aware we're not always going to get it right, and we're going to fail. And I'll raise my hand and say, I'm sorry if I've been selfish. And I'll raise my hand and I'm sorry if I've done things that have offended people. And I'm sorry if there's something that's not according to the Beatitudes. But God has set us in relationships. And part of the relationships in the body of Christ are to be accountable to one another. And say, just think about that. Because your behaviour was not quite in line. And it comes back to character. We've got to develop. So if we're going to develop treasure in heaven, if we're going to have treasure in heaven, we've got to develop our character. In other words, look like the person of Jesus. And the third thing about treasure in heaven is investing in other people. So not only do we need to invest in ourselves, and that's not a selfish thing to do, because as you invest in yourself, in your character, that then means that you're able to look outward and look at other people. Another heavenly treasure to invest in, other people. And what I find interesting about the people who, I don't know if you've catched the programs on TV, the hoarder programs, anybody seen those? No, yeah, so people watch the hoarders. Mostly it's sad, because what's happened is they've had a trauma in life and they've not been able to deal with that trauma, and so they've developed this problem of just having lots of stuff, etc. But one of the things that comes through on not on all of them but on some of them is that their lives are inherently selfish. It's all about them. That's not a value of the kingdom. But if we're investing in other people, that's of eternal value. Why? Because people are God's treasure. We last into eternity. How do we invest in other people then? Well, it's really simple. It's one word, connection. It's the first step, connection. Do something to make connection with people who are people of peace. A person of peace is a person who is open to the message. A person of peace is not a person that you come across on the street, for example, who says, oh no, I don't want to know. That is not a person of peace. You let them go. You bless them and you say, bless you. And you pray for them, but you don't bother with them. Because they're not a person of peace. A person of peace is somebody who said, I'll listen to you on this. I want to hear more. I'm interested. Somebody who's open. And so our life's work is about other people. It's about being focused on Christ, seeing his heart for the lost, and wanting to connect with them. Because if our life work is all about ourselves and gaining stuff for us, we're not going to be bothered about other people, are we? It's a natural corollary. And yes, there may be some fear and trepidation, but like with the turning, what you do is you spend hours in worship. And it's presence-led. It means that we're led by the presence of God. We get filled up with Christ, and then we move out into the world. And literally, you get a buzz from being in the presence of Christ, and you go out and you just start talking to people. So investing in other people all starts with making connection. And there is a little tool which I didn't have time to do a little PowerPoint and show you the whole ins and outs of it, but there is a little tool called the Disciple Maker's Journey, and it starts with connection, it moves on to conversation, so we converse and we talk, move the conversation from natural to supernatural, and then the next thing is we invite them into a relationship with Christ, which may mean that you invite them to something like an alpha course or an evangelistic meeting or anything like that. And then the final stage is to multiply. And that's instilling within them the same principle of investing in other people. But it all starts with connection. If we want to store up treasure in heaven, we've got to invest in other people. Who are your people of peace that you know on a regular basis that are open to hearing about Christ on a regular basis? If they're not open, pray for them, love them, but don't worry about it. But who's the person or the couple of people, whoever it might be in your life, that are people of peace? And if you don't have any, what are you doing to create connection? To make as many connections as possible. What social group can you join to make as many connections as possible? And then how are you talking to them? And how are you going to make disciples? How are you going to do that? Are you making connections? Am I making connections? And I have to say, I have to look at myself as well and say, am I making connections? Well, I kind of half am, kind of not. I'm not so great at it. I want to get better. And the turning is a great opportunity to do that. It gives you an opportunity. You don't have to come for all the days. You just have to come for one of the days. You get training on the script, and I call it training. It's literally, here's a script. This is how you talk to people on the street. Everybody can smile and talk to somebody with a script. It doesn't take a lot of brain power. And that's one way of making connections. Investing in other people. And then just lastly, which kind of goes without saying really, invest in causes which advance the gospel. And this is literally talking about put your money where your mouth is. If we really do care about the poor, if we really do care about saving people, then we will put our money where our mouth is. We'll invest in, rather than like the miser at the beginning, putting our treasure in the ground, we'll actually invest it and give it away. And that means not just our money, but the gifts and talents and the skills that God has given us. We'll use it for God's glory. We'll give it to kingdom causes. And so talking about money, we will give to BMS. We will give to Tear Fund. We will give to Mission Aviation. We will give to Compassion, Sponsor a Child, etc. And there's all sorts of kingdom causes that we can give towards. We will give towards Open Doors and the Persecuted Church. So there's nothing wrong with having money. And I don't think Jesus here is condemning the having money at all. There's nothing wrong with saving for the future. And that's a wise thing to do. What's wrong is having it and then doing nothing with it. That's the problem. So our money and our gifts and our talents and our skills ought to be used for causes which invest into eternity. It's a bit like the businessman who wanted to be a missionary, and I think I read this a couple of weeks ago, but he realized that he couldn't actually go out onto the mission field and do stuff. But then he realized, hang on a minute, I'm a businessman. My job is to make money. I can make money and give it to missionaries overseas. And so he did. And God was honored and blessed as a result of doing that. So there you have it. Don't store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven, where they're secure and not going to be destroyed. And we do that, firstly, by setting our minds on things above, developing our character to be like Christ, investing in other people, and then investing in causes which advance the gospel. Four things about setting, literally about creating treasure in heaven. I don't know what God's been saying to you. We're going to spend a moment in quiet and just allow the Lord. It might just be one of those things that he wants to pinpoint for you. This is a chance to have what we call in the Life Shapes, in the huddling, a kairos moment. Time is chronological. But there's another word in Greek called kairos, and that is a stop in time. That's when you rest in time for a minute. And that stops you, and it gives us a chance to repent and then believe. Repent and then believe. I've got a great video I'll show you one day that just goes through the circle. And so the Kairos moments, when we're repenting, we're just stopping and observing what's happened. Why has this happened? What's God trying to say to me through this? We reflect on it. We discuss it with other people. So if you found something, find some people and discuss it with them. And then you can believe, go around the other half, make a plan, be accountable to somebody, and do it. Act. So maybe just spend a moment and say, Lord, what are you saying to me, and what do you want me to do about it? Father, thank you that you want to invest in us. You want us to be more like Jesus in our characters. Lord, thank you that we are precious to you, that we are your treasured possession. Lord, thank you that we will last into eternity. And yet, Father, we recognize there are times in our lives when we have been seeking earthly treasure, whether that be acceptance from other people, whether that be money, whether that be some possessions, houses, whatever, investments. And our whole lives have been, the whole trajectory of our lives has been on the pursuit of those treasures. Lord, will you forgive us when we have not believed that you're good enough for us? Lord, will you come now, and for that deep-seated need in our life, will you come and satisfy it? And Lord, for those of us where we have thought, you know, actually, my life, I'm not thinking about what God wants. I'm only ever thinking about what I want. Lord, right now we simply say we're sorry. We're sorry for the times we've done it in the past, and we're sorry if we're doing it now. Lord, will you come and show us the reality of who we are in Christ? We bless you, Lord, that you're gracious and forgiving, and we don't have to prove ourselves to you. Would you come and help us to set our eyes on Jesus? And maybe for others of us, maybe we've had a revelation, maybe somebody said something to us that revealed something about our character that wasn't Christ-like, and we've been convicted by that. Lord, we repent for the areas in our lives where our character doesn't marry up with Jesus. Lord, there might be just one area of our character that we need to focus on. Lord, will you help us to be more like Christ? We're sorry for the times when we don't look like him. Help us to look like Jesus. And maybe others of us are keen to invest in other people, but we're a bit frightened. We don't know where to start. We don't know what to do. Lord, will you come and set our hearts on you and fill us with the love of Christ for the lost? Will you fill us afresh with a fresh burden and a heart for people who don't know Jesus? That as our lives reflect Christ, we want to invest in other people. Will you show us, will you reveal to us the people of peace in our lives that are interested, that are open for the message of the good news of Jesus? And Lord, help us to put our money where our mouth is. If we love people, help us to invest in causes that invest in people's eternal destiny. So Lord, whatever it is you're saying to us, we present ourselves to you and say, this is who we are. Most honestly and real, in all reality, this is who we are. Lord God, we set ourselves before you that we might see Jesus Holy Spirit, will you come and move in our midst afresh and fill us with your love and your power and your grace for the sake of the kingdom of God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.